You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 16th of February. It's a packed Friday. We'll look at what the Jazz have built. Look around the league, hottest and coldest players, and wonder if we'll ever get any help in the playoff race. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Happy Friday to you. Rising Stars game is today in L.A., and then the dunk contest is Saturday. Donovan participating in both of those. I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, analysis, behind-the-curtains look, and a lot of geeky numbers on a pack Friday. What we're going to do is we're going to look at what the Jazz have built with pack and where they stand now, and then we'll look at the NBA stuff as well. Today's show is brought to you by my friends over at Murdoch Hyundai at 4646 South State Street. The great stuff going on down there. First off, the Hyundai brand has blown my mind. I didn't know much about it when first met with the Murdochs, and they explained it to me and who Hyundai was and what they represented. It was an interesting conversation. I didn't really buy until I started driving the Santa Fe. The Santa Fe Sport impressed me incredibly. Then drove the Tucson, the Ioniq Hybrid, which I've been joking I wanted to sell out. If you're looking for a hybrid and want to, don't just automatically go buy the Prius, because that was really a great car. Now I'm in the Sonata. It's sweet. It's a little quick. I've been powering up and down the canyon a little faster than maybe I should occasionally. Not anything crazy, but just it's really quick. It's nice. It's tight. Drives beautifully. Great roominess. But that's kind of what happens when you get into these Hyundais and you find them and you take a look at them. You find out they're far better than you expect. If you deal with the Murdochs, what you're doing is you're getting the Murdoch Guarantee. 5-day price guarantee, car washes and oil changes for life. That's what Murdochs are all about. When you're dealing with Hyundai, you get the 100,000-mile Hyundai assurance. And right now, 1.99% financing with Golden West seems to, according to the website, is still going on. I didn't know that. That's awesome. It's all at Murdoch Hyundai at 4646 South State Street. All right. Usually we do the league first unpack, but today I want to go to kind of just who the Jazz are and what with the roster changes they've built, because it's a little bit of the premise of what I believe. So pack is points above average created. And the concept behind pack is that a lot of the things that Kevin Pelton and other people do is they do everything based on replacement level. And I look at everything, if you're trying to build a really good team, off of average. And so one of the main beliefs that I have is that if you were to take a player who's using 15 possessions a night, but does it below average, you're better off getting players who maybe aren't as elegant, don't do as wild of stuff, and you distribute those 15 possessions amongst your team, and if they're all average players, you'll be far better off. Nobody will quite understand why, because you don't have the bona fide score, and nobody will quite this and that. But that, to me, is who is the key to this whole thing. Is if you can field a roster where almost all the players are above average. Most of the championship teams have been there, sometimes with one negative player. Often a negative player brings a lot more value to the team. So the Jazz now, as they stand for the season, this is for the entire season. The other one I'd say is on the Jazz right now. The Jazz, I think, rank about 13th, 14th offensively. And no one can quite understand why. This is why. Because even if you don't have a dominant offensive player, and obviously Donovan's becoming that, you have everybody using average possessions, your offense is going to be pretty darn good. Boston's is not. Well, maybe we'll take a look and see in the NBA section of this why Boston's is not. Rudy Gobert is a 1.4. So, and what does that mean? That means in the 10 scoring opportunities a night that Rudy uses, his points above an average player is 1.4. It's really good. When we do the team, you'll see that the league, the best, it's about nine guys that are above There's about one, few guys above, three guys above three, about nine guys above two, and then the rest are under four. Joe Ingles is 1.2. Joe Ingles is really good. You know, part of the reason we're winning is because Joe Ingles is good. Derek Favors, 0.6. Sabo's out, but he's 0.5. Jarebko's 0.2. Udo's 0.2. Royce O'Neal is 0.1. Royce O'Neal's just average offensively. Howell Neto is a minus 0.1, basically average. Jay Crowder, including his whole year in Cleveland, is a minus 0.2. Donovan is a minus 0.4, but it has been average. Last 10 games, maybe not. We'll look at those in a second. But it's generally been average since the early start. And that's your rotation other than Ricky Rubio, who's a minus 0.8. That's not good. And that's a detrimental part to his game, and it's where Rubio's got to get back to going to the free throw line like he did a year ago. A year ago, Ricky was minus 0.2. Recently, Ricky's been a lot better than that. But that's now at least he brings a lot of other things to the table. But suddenly Rodney Hood, who is negative, and Joe Johnson, who's negative, and Alec Burks, who's negative, aren't in your rotation anymore. So our rotation has a negative Howell Neto at minus 0.1, Jay Crowder at minus 0.2, Donovan at minus 0.4, Rubio at minus 0.8. The biggest thing, if I was trying to have you learn something from this, is the belief that negative players are far more detrimental than the league realizes. In fact, you know, what's difficult here is that Jay Crowder, let's say Jay Crowder and Donovan and they're minus 0.6 combined and Ricky's minus 0.8, that's 1.4. It takes, you know, that negates Rudy suddenly. I mean, Rudy's positive 1.4. It negates that now, at least Joe, Derek, Jonas, Epe, Royce are positives you get to add together. But this is what the Jazz have done is they've actually gotten rid of, and then Alex out of the rotation, players that are not positive pack players. Alex, interesting, because he's still getting to the free throw line 11% of his possessions, and I'm still surprised that someone didn't go get him at a trade deadline. Obviously, I don't think it would have been expensive, and I think he can help someone. Over the last 10 games, and our numbers are going to be a little skewy here because we're 10-0, right? I mean, hey, let's go look at who we are as a team when we're the hottest we've ever been and, you know, one of the seven win streaks. But if we take a look at that, let's take a look at, you know, who we are during this time period and see what we learn. Because I think what we're going to learn during this time period is one of the major things that's happened is that almost anyone's playing is positive. So Joe's insane right now. He's 3.6, okay? That's the biggest change. Joe has become Kyle Korver plus some. This is where Kyle Korver during his time in Atlanta was just so much more valuable than anyone realized. Rubio's positive 2.8. Okay, so Rubio's going from negative 0.8 to plus 2.8. It's like adding Steph Curry. It's exactly what it is. Gobert's 1.4. Royce O'Neal's a 1.3. Epe's a 1.0. Derek's a 0.9. Crowder's been even in the last 10 games between Cleveland and Utah. Jarebko's a minus 0.5. Neto's a minus 0.7. And Donovan's a minus 1. Donovan has not been very efficient over the last 10 games. Still been good, but not very efficient. This is who he is forever, it actually wouldn't be okay. It's not who he's going to be forever. He's a rookie carrying the load. Neto's negative 0.7 is a little bit of a bummer. And Jonas, who's been shooting the three so well all year long, has been all right. His two-point shooting actually has been pretty tough. I think he's about 8 of his last 18. Eight of his last 18 from two. If I have that. That's off the top of my head. But you see there, and Alec is a minus 1.4 playing, really, because Rubio's hurt. And what happened to Alec is in the last 10 games, he stopped going to the free throw line, and then it's a mess. Alec has to go to the free throw line successfully. What happened to Rubio that changed it, obviously, is he shot well, but he's back up to going to the free throw line 12.5% of his possessions. So that's what the Jazz have built. It's interesting. I'm going to take a look at Boston here. I took a shot at something on Twitter yesterday Boston's offense is not good right now. And Kyrie's incredible at 4.2. And Al Horford is at 0.2. And Daniel Tice is at 0.2. But Rozier's negative. Yabusele's negative. Jaylen Brown's negative. Marcus Morris is negative. Kadeem Allen is negative. Doesn't really play. Semi Ojeleye is negative. Jason Tatum is a minus 1.5. Aaron Baines is a minus 1.6. Kyrie's incredible. I mean, incredible. But the negative of Baines, Tatum, Ojeleye negate it. And then the other guys are negative. That's a problem for them come playoff time. Is there a team in the NBA that is all positive? We'll take a look in just a second. Today's show is brought to you by Intercap Lending. They're a 40-year mortgage company that is now based in Utah and doing really neat stuff. I worked with Intercap Lending and Steve Carter and got our refinance done. You can call Steve at 385-800-8528. So why Intercap Lending? You're seeing ads for everybody else in the world. Why? Well, first of all, the fact they employ 200 people in Utah, I think matters. But they're not a Utah base. They work in 44 different states. So if you're outside Utah, you can use them as well. They do things a little differently. They're hyper-responsive. They've embraced change. So their app is awesome. Download the Intercap Lending app. You can actually pre-qualify without talking to anyone. Then the next part of it is veterans are about half their volume. Why? Because as a direct lender, they can deal with difficult loans. They can deal with low credit. They can deal with self-employed. They can deal with business assets. They can deal with multiple properties. So if you have a loan that's been turned down, make sure you call Steve Carter, 385-800-8528. That's 385-800-8528. And then you're going to find out, as Steve likes to joke, they can make getting your refinance or your mortgage or whatever it is as easy as ordering pizza with their online stuff. It's just fabulously well done. Check it out and see what they can do for you. Call Steve Carter, 385-800-8528. Intercap Lending, NMLS number 190465. For more information, intercaplending.com. Download the app now and pre-qualify so you're ahead of the game in the market. All right, let's take a look at a few teams. And then let's, over the season, and then let's go look at the league as a whole. So let's go Eastern Conference top. We just looked at what's Boston and why I'm not convinced they can be a great playoff team. If you don't think that Cleveland has shedded most of their negative. So if you look at Cleveland, LeBron's 2.8 is great. Kevin Love's 1.6. Kyle Korver's 1.3. He's Joe Ingles. Larry Nance is a 0.7. Jeff Green's a 0.7. George Hill's a 0.7. Tristan Thompson's a 0.5. Jose Calderon's a 0.5. Sidy Osman is a 0.2. And Rodney Hood is now even. Their only negative players they're playing are J.R. Smith at negative 0.3, and Jordan Clarkson at minus 0.5. Otherwise, Dwayne Wade, Derrick Rose, Amon Shumpert, they've gotten rid of all their negative. That's why I thought that trade would be great for them. Thus far, that has been accurate. But they're a beast now. Toronto, Jonas is 1.4 is their lead. That's what's interesting about them. For all the talk of DeMar DeRozan, he's purely average this year. DeMar DeRozan is shooting the three. Everyone's so excited. Still only 15% of his possessions. However, they don't have the only player in their entire roster that's in their regular rotation that's negative is Pascal Siakam. Van Vliet is even. DeLon Wright is good at 0.4. They don't have anybody dominant, but here Toronto's a great example of what, to me, is the ultimate roster. They don't have the stud right now. Lowry's only 0.8. DeRozan's about even. But nobody's negative. Norman Powell is, but he doesn't play. Bruno is, but he's gone. Malachi Richardson is, but he doesn't play. So Pascal Siakam is their only negative player. Puts them in a great position. You get a playoffs, they take the ball out of the hands of your main guys, and it's not that much of a drop-off. Milwaukee has Bledsoe at minus 0.1, call it even. Jabari Parker at minus 0.3. Sterling Brown at minus 0.4, though he just got hurt. Dellavedova at minus 0.4. Thon Maker's out of the rotation since Prunty took over. Smart. Otherwise, they're positive. Chris Middleton, 0.4. Brogdon, 0.5. Giannis, 2.2. Teletovic, 0.8. Is anybody else in the Washington? Anybody else in the East we think is an actual contender? Philadelphia. I don't know if they're even in the playoffs. Philadelphia, Ben Simmons is negative 0.5. Luau Caribou is a minus 0.6. Jared Bayless is a minus 0.2, so they've got a few. That's why they're not quite ready yet. And Washington. So those are the five Eastern Conference. John Wall is a minus 1.7. That is why they're playing better when John Wall's out. Because John Wall is one of the worst offensive players in the league. It's really a huge issue. And everyone's passing the ball, teamwork. No. Just purely, minus 1.7 is really, really hard to overcome. Okay, let's look at the Western Conference. The Warriors, Draymond Green is minus 0.1. Sean Livingston's minus 0.3. Patrick McCaw's minus 0.4. And Iguodala's minus 0.5. But the top guys are incredible. Steph's number one in the league. Durant's number two. 4.4 for Steph. 3.6 for Durant. No one's even close. Klay Thompson, 1.7. But that is a little, Draymond's about even. That's a little different than Livingston, McCaw, and Iguodala are all sitting at negative for Golden State. It gives you, in the playoffs, if you can do it, guys you're trying to get to use possessions. Houston, Joe Johnson is now negative. We'll see how much they use him. P.J. Tucker is their only other negative player at negative 0.3. But Houston's interesting because nobody's negative. So you force the ball out of James Harden's hands, out of Chris Paul's hands. Clint Capella's a beast, and you've guarded those three, and now Ariza's positive 0.7, and so is Ryan Anderson, and Luke Bamute's positive, and Eric Gordon's positive, and that's where Houston is actually a better offensive team right now than Golden State, and might be other than just the superior Golden State firepower, which isn't that superior. San Antonio's loaded with negatives. DeJounte Murray minus 1.2, Tony Parker 0.9. That's why they're struggling. Minnesota, who's great offensively, is got Andrew Wiggins, who's negative 1.8. If they got rid of Andrew Wiggins, this team would be unreal. But that's probably, and Andrew Wiggins, just the more I look at it, he's just not a good offense player. Shabazz Muhammad's a minus 0.9. Jamal's minus 0.5. Jeff Teague's a minus 0.4. He was out. They played better. It's pretty incredible, actually, with that amount of negative possessions floating around, that Karl Anthony Towns and Jimmy Butler have been able to carry that team to a positive. It's really pretty stunning. All right, let's go to league-wide. Steph Curry is goes to the break at number one. Kevin Durant is two. So the number one and two most positively impactful offensive players are on the same team. 20 scoring opportunities a night for Steph. He's 4.4 points above average. Durant is 3.6. Put the two of them together, it's an eight. And there's only two guys in the league over three other than them. Like, how do you catch that? Like, for all the concern, this and that, this is why the Warriors are going to be fine. How do you catch that? They're at eight. Two other players in the league are over three. Five other players in the league are over two, and somehow, by the end of the night, you've got to add your pack up above eight to be able to beat them. You can't do it. They dictate it. It'll be interesting to see when Steve Kerr starts coaching them. Harden's number three at 3.3. By the way, Steph's only played seven fewer games than Harden. I've got Steph still as my MVP. Karl Anthony Towns is a 3.0. Huge year for him. I'm not sure he's gotten quite enough credit for the year he's having. 55% from the field, 43% from three, carrying that team. Anthony Davis has been mammoth recently, 2.8. LeBron, 2.8. Giannis 2.2, and Clint Capella 2.2. So we're right where we almost always are. We have eight players above two. The eight most positively impactful players are Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, James Harden, Karl Anthony Towns, Anthony Davis, LeBron James, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Clint Capella. That last one doesn't make any sense, but the other seven do. Let me tell you something. That means he's that impactful. Don't get lost, because that one doesn't make sense. The next group is Enes Kanter, Chris Paul, Kyrie Irving, DeAndre Jordan, Damian Lillard. That's where someone should have traded for DeAndre. Klay Thompson, Steven Adams, Kevin Love, Jimmy Butler. Those are all the guys over 1.5. Jonas Valanciunas, Victor Oladipo, Rudy Gobert, Lou Williams, Kyle Korver, Reggie Bullock in Detroit, Joe Ingles, Paul George. It's pretty interesting. So Paul George in 19 scoring opportunities a night is as far above average as Joe Ingles is. Both of them are 1.2 above average. And then the question gets to be, the value of Paul George at that point is you don't have to go find somebody to give the other 11 possessions to. That's where Paul George is more valuable. But impact on a game, Joe Ingles' 9 possessions are being used so efficiently that he's putting the Jazz ahead of average as much as Paul George is in 19. That's the impact of Ingles. Now, the value of usage is you don't have to go find, you know, if Alec Burks goes and uses those other 10 possessions inefficiently, then you wish you had Paul George. Do you have a bunch of other average possession users? It's interesting how you build a team. Dwight Powell in Dallas has been really good at 1.2. DeMarcus Cousins, 1.2. We'll stay there, obviously. J.J. Redick, Dwayne Dedman, Nikola Mirotic, Darius Miller, Gary Harris, Julius Randle. It's an interesting player for next year. I wonder who signs him. Monstrell Harrell with the Clippers. Why are they playing well? Because he's good. Mike Scott in Washington, Darren Collison in Indiana, Anthony Tolliver, and then rookie John Collins now is the number one rookie at 1.0. Jakob Poeltl's at 1.0, Taj Gibson, and Joel Embiid. Those are all the players over one. Your worst offensive players are just all rookies. That's why Donovan being negative is not a problem. Lonzo Ball, minus 2.8, though getting better. He hasn't played in a while, but Dennis Smith. Lonzo Ball, suddenly, by the way, has only played 36 games. Dennis Smith, minus 2.6. Josh Jackson, minus 2.1. Chris Dunn in Chicago, minus 2.1. They're bad enough that no one's noticing he's not good. Juwan Evans, minus 1.9. Marcus Smart, minus 1.9. Surprised Boston's missing him. Russell Westbrook, minus 1.9. Andrew Wiggins, minus 1.8. That's huge right there. De'Aaron Fox, minus 1.8. Avery Bradley, minus 1.7. John Wall, minus 1.7. D'Angelo Russell, minus 1.7. Tyler Ulis, minus 1.7. Carmelo Anthony, minus 1.6. Why is Oklahoma City not very good offensively? Because they got these two guys. They're incredibly bad use of possessions. Dennis Schroeder, minus 1.6. Frank Ntilikina, minus 1.6. The thing you got to be careful of in point guards is Dennis Schroeder's averaging 19.5 points a game and 6 assists. You think he's really good. It's just he's using so many possessions to get it done. That's a huge part of it. All right, who's the hottest player in the league? Kevin Durant, 5.8. Karl Anthony Towns, 5.0. Wow. Karl Anthony Towns, final 10 games before the break, 61% from the field, 49% from three, 92% from the free throw line. Woo! Kyrie Irving, 4.2. Paul George is on another planet, 4.2. And James Harden, 4.0. So those are the five hottest players in the league. Damian Lillard, Rodney Hood in 5 of the 10 games. Danilo Gallinari. Interesting, maybe why the Clippers are playing so well. Joe Ingles. Joe Ingles, using now 14 scoring opportunities, has got the same positive impact as Steph Curry over the last stretch. Then Enes Kanter at 3.1 and Chris Paul at 3.0. Ricky Rubio is right behind on that list. CJ Miles is hot. Other names of interest: Klay Thompson, J.R. Smith, Anthony Tolliver, Josh Hart in L.A., Kemba, Reggie Bullock, Monstrell Harrell, Bojan Bogdanović in Indiana. Who are the coldest players in the NBA before we wrap up today? Dennis Smith, the rookie, at minus 4.2. Tim Hardaway at minus 4. Andrew Wiggins, minus 3.2. Andrew Wiggins should thank Karl Anthony Towns. Excuse me. Andrew Wiggins is at 4. 41% shooting and 23% shooting from 3. Chris Dunn has only played one game. Josh Jackson, the rookie, is at minus 3.0. But he's averaging 6, you know, you get excited, he's averaging 16-6-1. I don't worry about rookies, though. D'Angelo Russell, I'd be worried about minus 2.7. Draymond Green, minus 2.6. Russell Westbrook, minus 2.5 recently. Kelly Oubre, minus 2.5. Michael Beasley, minus 2.5. Justice Winslow, minus 2.3. He's really interesting. I've looked at him a lot. It's just not there yet. Torian Prince, Yogi Ferrell, DeMar DeRozan. Really struggling in Toronto. And our final ones are Denzel Washington, Dylan Brooks, Robert Covington, Troy Daniels, and Mark Gasol. All right, that is our Pack Friday. Hope you enjoyed. Hope you get out into the mountains. Enjoy President's Day. I'll bring you back something Monday. Hope all's well. Thanks very much for tuning in to Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.